ain't read the same Bible.
I think about how when I was lost and undone, how I mocked God. I remember shaking my fist and towards heaven, telling God to leave me alone. I sure am glad He didn't answer that prayer. And tonight, if you're lost in here tonight, boy, I wouldn't leave this building lost. Well, you don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't. I don't care if you're the youngest person in here. You don't know what's on tomorrow. And so, we trust that you're saved. But if you're not, now let me say this. Coming to church ain't salvation. Now, I know, well, y'all probably already know all this. Being baptized, y'all ain't even got your baptism in here. Y'all be in trouble tonight if it was in baptism. Amen. We don't sing there's power in the tub. We sing there's power in the blood. Doing good work don't make you saved. I know these folks think they're going to do all this good work. Then you're going to have to stand before Jesus and let figure out you did more good works than Him. I doubt it. Then when I was lost, you know, the devil can play some tricks on you. When I was lost, I had a godly grandmother. She was the godliest person that I knew. She was saved 80 years. She didn't live 80 years. She was saved 80 years. Now, I can remember when I was lost and out living like the devil. I was on a business trip, and back then we didn't have Sirius XM radio like that. And you had to hold your hand a certain way to get the stations to come in. I was heading down to Pensacola, Florida, and the only station I could pick up was on the AM side. Y'all know, you kids don't even know what the AM, all y'all know is about Pandora and everything else, amen. But I picked up this, and there's this preacher, and he's preaching, and he made a statement. He said, God has no grandkids. And see, I thought, well, you know, when I get to heaven, you know, my grandmother, she's going to vouch for me and get me in. I mean, she's done a lot of good work. But that preacher said that, and I'll be honest with you, that's the first time in my life I felt conviction. And boy, God began to deal with me about conviction, about being saved. And I fought it and fought it and fought it. But you know, there comes a point in your life, man, the devil will mess with your mind. You know what John, he quoted this morning, but in the book of John chapter 3, Nicodemus don't even ask the question. Verse 1 and 2, he comes and he says, Master, we know you're a good man and you're come from God. And he looked at him and Jesus answered in verse 3. Except a man be born again. Now, I don't know up here in North Carolina, but there's all these kind of jokes down in Alabama. And they'll start off like, when I get to the gate, I will ask St. Peter. Let me say something. According to John 3, you ain't going to make it to the gate. Amen. The Bible says you cannot see nor enter. Ye must be born again. And, boy, like he said, that's absolute. That's just absolute. Gun barrel straight tonight. And so if you're lost, tonight would be a good night to get saved. I want you to take your Bibles. Now, I'm going to preach tonight on a subject that I don't hear a lot of preaching on. But I know it's prevalent in the church. And it's let's look at Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2. It is prevalent in a Christian's life just as well in a lost person's life. Now, you could be lost in here tonight, and this would apply to you. You could be saved here tonight, and this would apply to you. Joshua chapter number 2, verse number 1. I'm just going to read one verse and use this lady as an illustration tonight. And I want you to follow along with me tonight. And the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Let's pray. Father, we ask you now, Lord, you'd help us. Lord, now I know this is an unusual message because I don't hear it preached a lot. Lord, I pray, God, that Lord, I just felt like this is what I needed to preach, and I pray, God, that You take it. Lord, guard my thoughts, my mind, my mouth, Lord. I don't want to say something that's contrary to the Spirit of God or the Word of God. Lord, I pray, God, You'd help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this woman, Rahab, most of us in here would know that the Bible, she was living in Jericho. Now, when I was a wee little lad, amen, that's been many years ago, I can remember singing that song about, "And the walls came tumbling down." How many of y'all know what song I'm talking about? Anybody know? I don't know all the words, but we know that Jericho had some big, strong walls.
Right.
And this woman lived behind a wall. And tonight, on God's help, I want to preach on this thought, living behind walls. Living behind walls. Now let me say this, there are some good walls in a Christian life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And listen, I'm not saying all the time living behind walls are bad, but tonight in the Christian's life, there are some walls. I want to say, number one, thank God for the walls of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you tonight, I stand here because I did have a praying grandmother. Amen. I tell you, my friend, my grandmother, boy, you didn't want Nanny praying for you. Amen. Because when Nanny got a hold of God, woo, it was tough going in your life of sin. Amen. I can remember one time I was desperate. Amen. Needed some money and left home. Brother Tim, just a little punk, you know, left home at 16 years old. I got out in the world. Let me tell you something about the world. It ain't all what it's cracked up to be, amen. And I got out in the world and got in a mess, amen. And I called home and I was praying Nene didn't answer the phone, amen. Back then we didn't have a caller ID, amen. I'll tell you how old I am. We only had one number for 911 and it was 0, amen. Who's smarter, y'all or us, amen. But listen, I can remember calling. I was desperate, amen. I needed some money. I said, now if Nene picks up, I'm going to hang up. She won't know it's me. And boy, I called there that night and Nene answered the phone. And I'm thinking, I can't hang up on Nene. I mean, that wouldn't be right. And I said, but if I talk to her, is she going to start preaching to me? And as sure as I'm standing here, I said, well, you know what? I need money pretty bad. I can handle Nene for a few minutes. And boy, Nene said, who is this? I said, Nene, it's Scott. She said, boy, I want you to know something. I know you're living wicked, amen. I know you're out in the world acting like a fool. But I'll tell you this, my friend. She said, listen here, son. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. She said, now listen, Nene's going to have to go to sleep tonight. She said, but I got a God in heaven. He ain't sleeping, amen. I'm praying He stays on you 24/7, amen. I thank God tonight. There was a woman that could get a hold of God. Hey, my friend, there are walls in Christian's life that are good.
Amen.
I remember, amen, my grandmother, boy, she's gone now. And boy, she called me, and every day after I got married, she called almost every day and say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I can remember the day I got saved, the first call I made was Nene.
Yeah.
And I called Nene, I said, Nene. She said, you don't have to tell me you got saved.
Yeah.
I already know. Amen. And then I can remember the first time my grandfather was a preacher. Amen. I mean, he was a preacher. They called him the tornado. Amen. I'm talking about this man. They said he died before my mother was born. He drunk himself to death and got born again and saved. But let me tell you this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My grandfather got saved. He was known in Birmingham, and you can look this up, as the worst drunk in Birmingham. But I'm going to tell you something. When my grandfather got saved and born again, boy, he began to preach, amen. And they said I heard a guy give an account of my grandfather preaching. He said he would preach so hard and he would sweat so much thirsty. You could hear the sweat sloshing in his shoes. Amen. That's some preaching right there. Amen. I've had spit on my chin. Thank you, Brother Rodney. He wouldn't even help me out. Amen. Help a preacher out next time he's got spit on his chin.
Yeah.
Boy, if I had, I'm telling you, I don't know what I'd do with enemies.
Yeah.
That's my kind of friends I got. But my grandmother, I'm talking about a wall of prayer. Not too long before she got sick and couldn't travel, Nene said, "I heard you preaching." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I'm going to go with you." I said, "All right." I was just a young whippersnapper back in them days. Hey, man, and I used to do some crazy stuff. I calmed down a little bit. I've been to preacher school. And listen, I got to preaching in a big time, screaming and a hollering and a hooping, amen. I might have even got on a pew, but I was just going to town. And when I got back in the car, Nene put her hand on my hip, on my knee. And boy, normally that ain't a good thing. When Nene's going to say something, she's going to be straightforward. She looked at me and said, "Honey, you preach just like your granddaddy." Amen. What a blessing that was to hear that. But thank God, number one, for a wall of prayer. But can I say number two, there's the Christians have a wall of protection. Hey, I tell you tonight, you young people in here, I don't want to turn this into a youth message, but let me say this. There's some of you bucking the walls of protection in your life. Hey, man, you think you're going to get out there and you're going to change the world? I got news for you, honey. I got news for you, ma'am. You ain't going to change the world. The world's going to change you. Hey, when they're through with you, they're going to kick you to the curb and they ain't going to think another thing about it. You better thank God. You got a wall of protection. There's people in our church, they just think sometimes I'm embarrassing, amen, the way I preach when we got visitors. Hey, I ain't changing the way I preach as there's visitors, amen. This is what you see, bless God, what you get, amen. I can't be starting to adapt to big words, amen. I can't get up here and say emphatically and emphatically and all that stuff. That ain't in my vocabulary, amen. But we got some of our kids. Brother, I think sometimes they're afraid to invite people to our church. And I tell you, and they can't wait to get outside the walls of the church. I'm telling you tonight, you better thank God there's walls of protection in your life. See, I don't like that preacher. He was too straightforward this morning. Dear God, that other preacher ought to preach. Why did he have to say something? You know what? That's a wall of protection.
You're right. Amen.
And I'm telling you, most of us adults in here, y'all give me a Presbyterian nod or something, amen. Y'all know what the world's like.
Amen.
And kids, when we check your cell phones, get over it.
Yeah.
Hey, when we go in your bedroom, get over it.
Right.
Well, it's my bedroom. I'll put keep out on the door. Put it on my door at my house. You won't have a door to put it on.
Yeah.
I'll take it off the cotton picking hinge, amen. Hey, I pay the cell phone bill, amen. I can read the cell phone.
Yeah.
Hey, go out there and check what they listen to on the radio. I mean, that is what we call a wall of protection. And in a Christian's life, there's a wall of prayer. There's a wall of protection. And then I thank God for that wall of peace. Hey, tonight I got a wall of peace. Hey, there's things that bother me, sure. But I'll tell you tonight, I've got a wall of peace. Hey man, that peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to give you an example of that. Amen. I'm going to give you a good example. Let me make sure I ain't got no spittle up here. Amen. Just so Brother Ronnie Wayne wouldn't help me out. He wouldn't tell me I had some on there. Thank you, a good friend. But listen, he did at least give me a place to stay. Thank you, brother. And last night, I tell you, I got in that bed last night. We opened the windows and evidently a hurricane come through there. I got up this morning. There was a shoe in front of the door. I'm thinking, what in the world? She said, "You didn't hear all that." She said, "The door was rocking and the blinds were creaking." I said, "No, I was fast asleep." You know why I can go fast asleep? I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen tonight. I'm telling you, I got a wall of peace in my life. And I thank God I didn't hear all that. I might have to start praying to get the demons out of that house. Boy, that would kind of make me nervous. Amen. I am back in nowhere. Amen. I mean, it takes 30 minutes to get up his driveway. Amen. But tonight, can I say this? There are some Christians tonight, some that are saved by the grace of God, which has built some walls.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to tell you something. Now listen, you can fool a lot of preachers. That'd be all right, but don't try to fool this one.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen. My expertise used to be going in and working with people that's built walls.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something about ladies. All right? Don't get mad at me, ladies. Amen. I took my glasses off so I can't see your looks. But I'm going to tell you something. A lady will build a wall in a heartbeat. And she'll build it up where she ain't, blessed God, ain't going to let nobody in there.
Yeah.
You know what we used to do every Sunday? I go down in that detention center, and every Sunday, brother, I was trying to take one brick out of that wall.
Right.
I was trying to say, Jesus is good. Here, give me that brick.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesus, give you peace. How about give me another brick? Hey, this man's a bricklayer, amen. He knows how that thing works.
Yeah.
And every day, I was trying to pull a brick out of there. But I'm going to tell you, I've been in churches in my 16 years of evangelism, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with that person? They won't let God in. They built a wall.
Amen.
They built a wall. Now I got a couple things I got to really get to preaching. I'll pull a Mike Carpenter and preach all night. Whoa! Somebody said amen right there. Amen. Let me say this. Why do people build walls? I'll just give it to you and then I'll get to my points. Number one, they build them because of reputation.
Right.
You know, preacher, you might find somebody. I don't know your reputation's in here tonight. I just know Ronnie Wayne won't tell me I got spit on me. That's about all the thing I know about him. And he likes to hunt. I know that. But listen, there might be somebody in here. Maybe you had a reputation out in the world, and God saved you, and you come in the church, and you still got that wall up because of your reputation. I think about the woman at the well, amen. You think about that woman. She had so many husbands, you couldn't play tic-tac-toe with her, amen. She had more exes than she had O's. You know what I'm saying? Somebody say amen, I tell you. Hey, listen, but can you think about that woman's, well, I can't go tell nobody about Jesus. I mean, I got all these husbands. You know what she said? She left the water pot, went back and said, hey, come and see a man, amen. I'm telling you, there's people that build water. Walls because of reputation. Number two, they build walls because of relationships. And I'm going to tell you, that's where a lot of people get it. Well, I ain't gonna give my heart to that church. Amen. I got hurt at the other church. I'll go and I'll sit. But I had a bad relationship.
Yeah.
You know what? They just sit on the pew and do nothing for the rest of their Christian life.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, there are people that build walls because they ain't getting hurt again.
Amen.
Hey, folks, you stay in this church long enough, you're going to get hurt.
Amen.
Hey, is that all right to say?
Right.
Hey, you look around here, we all individuals and we all got attitudes. Hello. And if I catch you on the bad day, I might have a bad attitude.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen. The preacher, he might be having a bad day. But you know what people do, brother? They'll build a wall and say, bless God, ain't nobody going to minister to me.
That's right.
And they build them because of reputations and because of relationships. Can I tell you, there might be somebody in here, and listen, I don't look down on you, so don't come and say I look down on you. Maybe you had a failed marriage.
Right.
Maybe for some reason it didn't work out. You know, people ask me all the time, what I believe in that. I believe in this. You got two wheels in a marriage.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. My wife tomorrow, she could pack up and leave. You know what? There ain't nothing I can do about that. Amen. There's two wheels in a relationship. But then I hear people say, well, I'm going to never love nobody no more. You know who suffers when you build a wall of relationship? Everybody around you.
Yeah.
Your kids suffer. I mean, everybody suffers because of relationship because you built a wall. Well, nobody's going to hurt me no more. I'm going to tell you, if I went around here, I've only been married one time, and that's with my wife. But my dad, me and my dad had a bad relationship. But you know what I figured out a long time ago? I ain't going to build no stinking wall so my kids can't get help from their daddy. So number one, people build walls because of reputation. Number two, relationship. And number three, risk.
Yeah.
They're not going to risk anything. That's why you don't see people surrender to do nothing. Hey man, I got to take this jacket off. Well, y'all believe that? Y'all believe a snowstorm's coming or something? I don't. Yeah, God, y'all building a wall of heat. Amen. Woo! I should just change the message and preach on hell right there. Can I say this? You're going to have to step out.
Yeah.
You know, people say, "Well, I tried and it didn't work."
Yeah.
If I told you about everything that I tried since I've been in the ministry that didn't work, you'd probably get on Prozac. You'd probably say, "Dear God, why are you still going?"
Yeah.
Because you know one thing, my Savior's working.
That's right.
There's a lot of people, a lot of people sitting in church, born again, bought with a price, preacher, and they're sitting in church because they built a wall because of risk. They're not going to fail.
You're right.
Yeah. Hey, and I got news for you. You ain't going to fail if you ain't never tempted nothing.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. The old Colonel Sanders. Y'all know Colonel Sanders, but he's got finger licking good.
Yeah.
Hey, finger licking good didn't make it big till he was in his mid-60s.
Right,
I sure am glad he took a risk.
Amen.
Somebody better say amen right there.
Amen.
Bless God, I got finger licking chicken good. Amen. Why? Because somebody took a risk.
Yeah.
What if he lived? Well, I tried. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, we all fail.
Yeah.
But I tell you tonight, it bleeds over into the Christian. Well, I tried that ministry and it didn't work.
You're right.
Man, if I told you everything I tried, boy, I'm telling you, I'd be here all night. Man, if I even told you what I've tried since I've been a pastor.
Yeah, right.
Man, I've tried everything. Except I ain't going to put no clam suit on. I ain't swallowing no goldfish. Because if I'm going to eat fish, it's going to be fried, amen? And it ain't going to be a catfish eyeball for $20. I saw that. I saw that. I saw that, son. Are you back there? Have you lost your mind, son? I hope Mama don't know. She will after this sermon, though. You might want to build a wall behind your behind, amen? I'm just kidding. So why do people build walls, relationships, reputation and risk?
Yeah.
But let me give you these and I'll be through real quick. Number one, there's people that build walls. They live behind the walls of self-pity.
Uh-huh. You're right,
brother. Woe is me.
You're right. Amen.
I'm just going to eat some worms. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Man, let me see how many steps I got in. I got to catch up with Brother T.M. Carpenter. I know what that man, hey, I done figured out what he does. He put his on a washing machine. I've done that before. I know what you're doing. To win that workday weekend challenge or whatever it is. I know what you're doing, cutting the grass on the riding lawnmower and get 5,000 steps. It'll register it, by the way. How do you know I've done it? It says you're riding an outdoor bike. You ain't riding no outdoor bike. You go ahead and tell you help us there. 1 Kings chapter 19. Here's a man that built a wall of self-pity. Hey, this is a saved man. And Ahab, verse number 1, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done with all. He had slain all the prophets with a sword. I mean, he just had a great victory. Here's a man of God. He done whooped all these Baal prophets, then took the sword and cut them up to pieces. And now look what happens to him. Then Jezebel sent a messenger in Elijah saying, "Let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as thy life is won by tomorrow about this time." And he saw, and when he saw that. Now, let me ask you a question. What in the world did he see?
Yeah, that's right.
He sent a messenger. He didn't see nothing. You know what he done? Oh man, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. But look, it goes on. I can't figure it out. Y'all figure it out and preach it when you get an opportunity to preach. And he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And that's where you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just take his servant with him?
Yeah.
Hey folks, when the devil gets you alone, you know what the Bible says in Genesis? It ain't good for a man to be alone. Hey, well, hey, mamas and daddies, let me go ahead and help you right here. When your children tells you these words, "Leave me alone," you got a problem. You better figure out what's going on spiritually in that young person's life, because you got a problem. That's a side note. That ain't even in the message. He left his servant. Then look at verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a Jupiter tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "Is it not enough? Now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father." Hey, when you get it, you begin to build the wall of self-pity. How do you know you're behind that, preacher? I'll tell you, number one, you're paranoid. You come into church and somebody over here talking, "Are they talking about me? What are they saying?"
Go ahead.
I've seen it in my own church. Some poor guys over here talking at the ball game. Some lady over here is mad. I wonder what they're saying. Well, they ain't being spiritual, I can tell you that. They done lied about how many points was on that buck. How big that fish was. And you all the time, you thinking they're running you down. See, what you're seeing ain't what is going on. And when you build that wall of self-pity, you'll begin paring. Why are they talking about me? Why every time the preacher preaches, he's preaching to you. I'm telling you one thing. I'm going to stop coming there. He always preaching about me. He blah, 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 blah. You get behind that wall of self-pity, you get paranoid. Everybody's against you.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to take my ball and go home. And the church is going to fold.
Go ahead.
And the church ain't folding. I've had several walk out since I've been there, brother, and the church ain't folding. But they thought it was. Bless God, I'll take my $5 a year to tithe and go to the house. Well, go ahead and take your $5 a year to the house. Amen. You little paranoid thing. Number one, you're paranoid. And you can read that in verses 1 through 3. I won't reread it. But number 2, how do you know everything's personal? Everything. You're just behind the wall of self-pity. And I'm going to tell you something. Man, that's a bad wall to get behind. I mean, you're throwing a pity party. And you won't invite nobody. And I'm telling you, I've seen them do it. Verses 9 through 10. Look at that real quick. Same chapter. Everything's personal. And he came thither into a cave, and he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, and thrown down our altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it." You take everything personal. Nobody can't shake your hand if they don't do it right. One time, I'm just a new Christian, brother. I ain't got no clue. New Christians ain't got no clue. Do y'all understand, man? They might even drop a cuss word in church. They ain't got a clue. I was just a new Christian, brother. I didn't know nothing. And this man in our church, he come up, and evidently I didn't shake his hand. I didn't do it on purpose. I don't mind shaking people's hands. And he comes to my door and he knocks on my door and he said, "I need to talk to you." You know, he changes his voice. Why can't you just talk like we know? "I need to talk to you." Just talk like we're talking now. He changes his voice. "I need to talk to you." Okay? He said, "I'm extremely upset at you." I said, "Why?" He said, now this is his exact words, "I extended the right hand of fellowship." Now I'm getting all spiritual. "The right hand of fellowship, and you denied my request." What did you just say? Can you put that in Alabama hit?
Go ahead, preacher.
"I extended the right hand of fellowship, and you denied my request." It's like I'm thinking of having a big rubber ink thing. Denied. You know what it is? Everything in that church become personal to him. If he didn't say nothing to him, it was personal. If the preacher didn't sing the right song, it's personal. If the preacher didn't do this, it's personal. If the song leader didn't do this, it's personal. Everything is personal. And there are people in the church, and I'm not necessarily saying here, when you get behind that wall of self-pity, you're paranoid and everything's personal. Number two, let me give you this one real quick. Amen. We're jumping along here. Number two, look at Jonah chapter number 3. Say, I'm not behind a wall of self-pity. Praise God. Amen. You ought to shout out right there. You ain't there. But you might be behind this one. Jonah chapter number 3, look at verse number 10. I'm just going to start preaching, amen? Jonah 3:10, and God saw their works, and they turned, and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Now y'all know what's going on here. God has called Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, and I mean, God used Jonah even though we rebelled, and everybody got right. Even the animals, amen, were in sackcloth and ashes. How would you like to see that happening here? I mean, in Hammond, North Carolina, every cat and every dog and every rattlesnake, amen, had sackcloth and ashes on. Hey man, that would be something to see. But you know what this was? Look at verse number, chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord God and said, I pray thee, O God, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled there unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repenteth thee of this evil. You know what he's saying? I knew you was going to do it without me. That's why I was running. You know what he was really was saying? He's ate up with prejudice. That's what he was running from. He didn't want them to get saved.
Right.
He'd rather them die and go to hell,
you're right,
amen, than them to get right with God. And I'm going to tell you something. There's wrong with people in America that say this person needs to go to hell. I ain't fooling with them. I'm telling you, they're
right,
wicked as the devil.
Right.
You know what this wall is? The wall of self-righteousness.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, boy, the independents are ate up with it.
You're right.
Hello, say amen right there.
Amen.
Bless God, I got a King James Bible. Amen, I'm feeling good tonight. Amen. That chicken helped me out. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know, that wasn't finger licking chicken, but it was some Smith something licking chicken. You know what happens when you get behind self-righteousness? Number one, you become unthankful. Boy, you come unthankful. Look at Jonah 2:9. Y'all gotta help me. Y'all gotta turn there quick and say amen when you're there. Alright, Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay thee that I have vowed. Salvation is the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. You know what he's saying? Hey, Lord, I'll go do what you want to. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah! Yeah, when you're in the belly of the whale, everything's good.
Right.
Look at verse number, chapter 3, verse 10. I just read it, but I'll read it again. Amen. And God saw the works, and He turned from their evil way, and God repented of His evil that He had said He would do unto them, and He did it not. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He was angry. You know what he become? He went from, hey, you're great God, praise your name, salvation is the Lord. He's got into an unthankful state.
Yes, he is.
Now I'll tell you tonight, boy, we're fixing to celebrate Thanksgiving. They're doing all they can to get rid of Thanksgiving.
Amen.
Bless God, Halloween, you see Halloween candy in July.
Yeah.
And well, as soon as Halloween candy, the last Snicker bars yanked off the shelf, we put up Christmas decorations.
Yeah,
I'm telling you something, my friend. The church house needs to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. Hey, my friend, I'll tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what those people done. Your greatest enemy could walk in here tonight, and if God saved them, you ought to be thankful for it. These people walking around with their noses up in the air, bless God, not in my church, and we ain't going to do this. I just ran somebody out of my church. I ran him out. He started telling me this, and I don't mean this offensive to you by any means. He started telling me all this stuff about these people ain't doing this, and these people need. I said, hey, you see that door sucker? You hit it.
Yeah.
And don't you come back.
Yeah.
I don't put up with that.
Amen.
Man, I believe when I look out here, I look at God's people.
Amen.
I don't look at black or white, Mexican. That's why we support all kind of nations, amen. And this guy's in there telling me all this garbage. I said, hey, you see that door? He said, we can't work this out. I said, no, we ain't working this out.
Amen.
You ain't coming in my church and doing that. Hey, you know what it is? It's self-righteousness. He thinks he's better than everybody else. He said, well, I read my Bible six times every month or something. I said, whoopity stinking do.
Yeah.
I don't care how many times you read your Bible through. The love of God ain't in your heart.
Amen.
I hope I didn't offend nobody in here tonight. I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, when you get behind that wall of self-righteousness, you'd rather people die and go to hell than people to get right.
You're right.
Amen.
You're right.
Well, you be in some churches, and I know you've seen this, and some of you preachers are trying. You see somebody get right in the church, half the church will be mad.
Yeah, right.
I mean, these birds have been raising hell in the church, and they get right with God, and people ain't even happy about it.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's a wall of self-righteousness.
Right.
Amen. You better be careful about building that wall. It starts with unthankfulness, and then it goes over to being unhappy.
Right.
Amen.
You're right.
Yeah.
I ain't got time. You can read when you go home. Read Jonah chapter 1 through 11. Jonah 4, chapter 1 through 11. Being unhappy. You know, he becomes angry. You know, he gets angry over the Lord because the Lord lets that ground, that dies, that worm comes and eats. He gets angry. He was more concerned about his shade than them people dying and going to hell.
Right.
Boy, ain't that sad?
Yeah.
But I tell you, number one, the wall of self-pity. Number two, the wall of self-righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
These independents today, bro, we lost all our compassion. I'm telling you, we have flat out lost.
I,
you know, you go in there and you weep and cry and people think you're a nut.
You're right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Didn't Jesus over in Matthew, wasn't he standing over Jerusalem weeping?
That's right.
Yeah.
He's weeping because he looked over and he said, the harvest is ready. He said, and then he asked something, and I got a message I preached out of there. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest. I got a message entitled, Answering God's Prayer Request.
Yeah, that's good.
Is this y'all got a prayer sheet around here? This ain't a prayer sheet, but I'm sure y'all do. Is that the number one prayer request on y'all's prayer sheet? Pray that the Lord of the harvest.
Amen, that's good.
Man, that needs to be number one. Hey, God answers our prayer. So number one, listen, don't build a wall of self-pity. Number two, self-righteousness. And I'll give you this last one when we be through. Amen. Last one, y'all still with me?
Amen.
By the way, anger in Jonah is mentioned four times in verse 11, Jonah was a very angry man. Unhappy and unthankful. Last one, look at Judges 16 and we'll be done. Say, preacher, I don't have a wall of self-pity. I don't have a wall of self-righteousness. Well, praise God.
Yeah.
Maybe you got this one. Judges 16, look at verse 20.
Yeah.
And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before to shake myself. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him.
Right.
I've seen him build a wall of self-reliance.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. And I've been hammering my church, so this ain't no secret. I don't care if it gets on. See, we think because we're Glory Land and I'm preaching to my church, we just show up.
Yeah, right.
With our King James Bible, bless God, and we got a touch of God on us, it don't work that way.
Amen, preacher.
It don't work that way. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's some of you, and I know this might sound pastoral, and if it does, you can rebuke me. But there's some of you kids in here, you scare me.
Amen.
You're scaring the preacher. And I know you're probably scaring him.
Amen. Because
you're doing all this faking.
Yeah.
You're doing all this faking.
Go ahead, preacher.
You know what it is? You think one day you're going to get in trouble and you're just going to run out and shake yourself. I'll just run back to the church. Hey, you might run back to the church. It ain't going to be the same. You can shake all you want to. I told my church, this is what I told my church Sunday. I've been preaching on them about, we got to get outside the walls of the church. We've sat too long, too comfortable. And this is what I told them. I said, if we had to write another, we're celebrating 30, how many years now? Yeah, how many years? 34 years, brother, our church has been in existence. And we did a 25-year anniversary book. That thing's pretty thick. Hardbound, about that thick, brother. 25 years of what that church accomplished. You know what I told them Sunday? I said, that's all some of y'all are living on is that book.
Right.
I said, if we had to write our own book, if we had to, hey listen, you know what we do now? I tell you what we do as independents. We sit around these meetings and we boast about what happened 20 years ago.
Right.
We ain't got no new stories to tell them. Amen. We ain't got no good stuff. I mean, all we got is old stories. And you know what? They're getting pretty stale.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Amen. You know here, you know what he done? I tell you what Samson done. He thinks he could play out in the world and lay in the lap of a harlot, and he thinks he's gonna have the power of God on him.
Right.
And so he began to build this wall up and said, I don't need preaching. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to listen to mom and dad. You know, his mom and dad kept warning him about them.
Yeah.
He said, is there no other person of our family? He says, I want her. And he got her.
Amen.
Right. Yep.
You know what he done? He lost everything.
Amen. Right. Good preaching.
For a woman.
Amen.
Now, did I offend y'all ladies? Lost everything for a woman. And by the way, read this again. And she said this. Now I'm quoting this. He said, the Philistine be upon you, Samson. And she began to afflict him. The one he was laying in the lap, she began to afflict him. You know what? He had built such a great wall in his life of self-reliance. He didn't even have a clue. He didn't have God.
Right.
And that's some of the saddest states. I gotta finish. That is some of the saddest states, Miss Angela, brother, and y'all go in a lot of churches. But you go in there and say, something ain't right here.
Mm-hmm. You might, bro.
But they be bopping along like it's always been. Can I tell you something, Hope? Well,
go ahead,
I'm gonna tell you this. Do not let your arrogance be your downfall.
Right.
Amen.
Well, that's our preacher. You know what I say, brother? Can I just pour my heart out for a minute? You know what I say? I see your kids getting up here singing and playing. I see that. And you need to thank God for that.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you this. If you ever get to the point and think you're that.
Right,
brother. Yeah, amen.
Right.
Amen.
We had groups. Hey, listen. Some of y'all, how many of y'all have ever heard of the Gloryland Girls? Anybody in here?
Yeah.
Can I tell you they ain't a group no more?
Right.
Can I tell you I still get people asking me for CDs and all that, and a couple of them ain't even in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I don't care how many times you get up here and sing, kids.
Right.
Amen.
Hey, preacher, you think you can just get up and have you a 3-point outline and a poem?
Right.
Hey, there's going to come a day you're going to build that wall of self-reliance. You're going to get up and shake and ain't nothing going to happen.
Right.
That's my biggest fear. You know what my biggest fear is? Two things. Number one, I steal God's glory. I shouldn't ever want to steal God's glory. And then number two, He sticks me on the shelf. Boy, I could go around and preach a little bit. It wouldn't mean nothing.
Right, bro.
You know what that wall of self-reliance does? You rely on your abilities and you rely on your arrogance. Tonight, and I wrote this as my conclusion statement. See, I get in trouble reading big words. You know what all three of these had in common? Anybody can tell me what all three of these men had in common? All right, good. They all wanted to die. Jonah wanted to die. Samson wanted to die and he got his wish. And Elijah wanted to die.
Right.
You building these type of walls will put you in a state where you don't even want to live.
Amen, bro.
Now I'm going to tell you something. Listen to the preacher's kids. Listen to me for a minute. You better not take for granted what God's doing in your life.
Amen.
I can remember this, sitting at that same camp in 1999, I was sitting in that camp, and a boy named Johnny Payne come up to me. This is what he said. He said, I can remember when my group used to have the touch. And he's sitting there little. He's only got one or two guys in his youth group.
Yeah.
Boy, I stuck my chest out, you know. And but see, I love my church.
Right. Amen.
But they ain't got the touch like they used to.
Amen, brother.
I can remember our youth choir getting up, brother, and singing God Damn. Now we just go through the motions at church. We just go through emotions, and we might, like the other night, I got the youth choir up and sing. Yeah, we had a couple people shouting, but I can remember when the altars were filled up.
Right.
You know, I look around and I think, my goodness, we done built a wall of self-reliance. Mm-hmm. Go through our little motions and our rituals.
Amen.
Boy, they look at the watch. Man, it's a good night at 7:20. Good God. Remember when you just didn't care whenever God was involved in it?
Amen.
So tonight, let me ask you this. Somebody, well, if I come down there and don't know why I built the wall. Well, I'll be honest with you. Preachers probably already know what the wall you got.
Amen.
You young people, do you want to lose what you got? Do you want to lose it? You play around with the world, you'll lose it.
Amen.
Some of you young people, you scare me. And I say that out of love. Because I think I've got some time invested. I'm not your preacher. But I got some time invested in you. Hey, by the way, I'm on Facebook under a fake name.
Go ahead, bro.
I see your Facebook post. I see your conversations.
Right, bro.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
Go ahead, preacher.
Breaks my heart. Tonight, you got a wall built? Some of you ran out of that wall of protection. Moms and dads, can I ask you this? When you going to build a wall of prayer around them? Some of you mamas and dads right now, you know your kids are struggling. When's the last time you made a trip to an altar? Said, I'm going to build a wall around them. Hey, Hopewell, when you going to build a wall of protection around your families tonight? And if nobody comes tonight, that ain't my business. That's God's business. But tonight, I'm through, preacher. I'm done. I might have melted a little bit tonight. I didn't intend to. But maybe you're living behind that wall of self-pity. Won't you come down here and ask God to help you? Maybe you're living behind that wall of self-righteousness. Won't you come down here and ask God? Maybe you're behind that wall of self-reliance tonight. Won't you just come down here and ask God? God, help me tonight. Hey, if you're lost in here tonight, maybe you're behind one of these walls. Well, I'm going to tell you, your first step is getting born again. And so I ask you tonight, as they're coming, the preacher's coming, would you pray and ask God to help you tonight?